In Paul's second letter to the believers at Corinth, he writes these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. For you know, you've experienced, you've perceived the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. This morning I want to encourage you to believe the heart of Christmas, that you would be rich. Or for the majority of you here this morning, I want you to see how rich you have become through believing the very heart of Christmas. The Christmas was an event which was destined to make you unbelievably rich. Richer than you would ever have dreamed. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. There in 2 Corinthians, Paul is giving the Christians at Corinth a lesson in giving. And we have a Christmas gift this year. And as a church, our Christmas gift is going to go to Barnabas Fund for their work in the West African countries facing Ebola. If you would like to make a donation to our Christmas gift this year, then please mark it separately as Ebola. And if you wish to gift aid your contribution, please make sure your gift aid number is on the envelope. So that's two things. It's a gift to Ebola. Please write Ebola on it. And then if you want to gift aid it, please put your gift aid number on so it can be identified as such. Although the Ebola outbreak was much the fashion 2 months ago, a nurse at the weekend said the next 12 months is still critical. Her Majesty the Queen will mention Ebola this afternoon in her speech. I have it on good authority. And Channel 4's alternative message this year is to be taken by William Pooley, who himself was the survivor, the nurse who survived Ebola. So it's very much in the news. And our Christmas gift this year is for Ebola. And Nigel's put up some information about it as well in the welcome area. So please do look. And maybe we'll be encouraged by what we hear this morning to give too. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is speaking about supporting poor Christians in the church in Jerusalem. And as he's encouraging the Corinthian believers to give to those poor Christians, so he sets before them a pattern. He encourages them to give generously because that is what Christ, their head, their example, has done for them. You see, he's loved them. And love always expresses itself in giving. And this great love is seen in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the giving of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it's seen superbly in the Christmas event. I want to remind you of some words that we looked at very briefly at the carol service, just so you focus your hearts and minds in on the Christmas event. At one level, 2,000 years ago, it's merely a birth. It's a birth of a baby boy to a young woman called Mary and a man that she's about to marry called Joseph. She gives birth to a baby in a stable or a manger. She certainly lies him in a stable or a cave. She certainly lays him in a manger there in the town of Bethlehem. Quite unremarkable in many ways so far. But there were extraordinary aspects to this birth. The birth was God keeping a promise that he had made hundreds and indeed thousands of years earlier, to send into the world an anointed special king and saviour. Here is the moment of fulfilment that they had been waiting for. God makes and keeps his promises. Another extraordinary aspect is that the angel has to announce the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ both to Mary and to Joseph. It's an angelic announcement. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, thirdly, is brought about by a virgin birth or even a virgin conception. Mary is overshadowed by the power of the Most High, the Holy Spirit, such that that which she finds within her womb is no one less than the Son of God. His birth is announced again by angels to poor shepherds. Wise men follow a star which leads them to Jerusalem and then Bethlehem. Following the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, King Herod orders a massacre of all males under the age of 2 years as King Herod seeks to destroy the newborn King Jesus. And so the Holy Family, warned by an angel in a dream, flee to Egypt for safety, and even that aspect of the story was prophesied hundreds of years before it took place. That's what we're focusing on here this morning, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in a sense, I want you to go back 2,000 years this morning, and I want you to peer into the manger. And what do you see? What do you see? Well, firstly, you see one in the manger who was rich. You see there a babe. Feet, toes, hands, eyes, eyelashes, a little bit of hair maybe. But you see one who was rich. As you peer into the manger, he looks anything but rich. There's no trappings of wealth on show at all. There's no palace surroundings. There's no nanny to attend to him. There's no private obstetrician to deliver him. This is a stable or a cave where a baby has been born to a peasant teenager as a mother. He has, so it is thought, a poor carpenter for a father. He's lain in an animal feeding trough for a cot, which is hardly the stuff of the middle-class John Lewis Christmas advert, is it? Animals probably, and lowly shepherds certainly, were his companions. You're seeing the outworkings of the most humble birth. Mary and Joseph would latterly make offerings of the poor, 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. You're looking at someone who was rich, but as you gazed upon him, he looked anything but. Though the scriptures tell us that the one in the manger owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. The scripture tells us that the one in the manger, well, all creation was his, heaven or earth, visible or invisible, thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, all was his. All resources are his, all gold, all silver, all oil. When Paul says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Paul is not referring, I don't believe at all, to his material wealth. The baby in the manger was rich, as God himself is rich. Because the baby in the manger is no one less than God himself. Because the birth is so much more than a birth. It's an incarnation. This is God who has become flesh. This is God who is making himself known to us in the likeness of sinful flesh. Here amongst the straw is the exact representation of the Father's being in flesh. He was rich. And he was rich in his person. Because as you peer into the manger, you see the one who is the Word that was with God and was God. We know that we worship one God in 3 persons. Here is the second member of the triune Godhead. Here is the eternal Son. Had he been able to speak, he would have said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Had the shepherds been able to read words which would be written in truth about this babe years later, they could have read, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. By him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. As they looked at obeying, they could have read, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Or as they could have read later in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Doesn't he make you want to bow down and worship this morning? Aren't you filled with some sense of awe and wonder? You go to the scriptures and take all the divine titles, all the divine names, all the divine attributes, all the divine rights and powers, and they all rightfully belong to him. This baby is rich in the sense that he is God, and he is as rich as God is rich, possessing eternity and all that it contains, and possessing the very essence of Godhead. As we've sung, he is God of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, in what way was he rich? He was rich in his person. The riches of the Lord Jesus are the riches of God himself, absolute, infinite, and eternal. He's rich in every respect, as God is rich in every respect, because he is God, Emmanuel. That's the first thing we can say about the babe in the manger. He was wondrously rich. And yet, secondly, in coming to the manger, he became poor. His journey to the manger was a journey out of riches into poverty in many ways. Now, I think I'm right in saying that rich people don't generally become poor other than by disaster or accident. The rich may help the poor, sometimes extraordinarily generously, but usually not at the expense of their own riches. They'll take the top few percent off, but they remain rich. Yet the Bible says that Jesus, for your sake, became poor. Really poor. And that isn't a commentary on his economic status or his material circumstances. I know those things move our emotions and they're sentimental. Here's a humble birth and the offering of doves, and he's nowhere to lay his head, and he only has a meagre garment to wear at the end of his life. All of those are true, but they're not the essence of what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. The impoverishing, the poverty, is in this one truth, that God became man. That's the poverty. Paul is talking spiritually, referring to the incarnation. Rich people give things away to become poor. The man from Geneva, Mr. Calvin, said Christ Godhead concealed for a time. He laid aside his glory in the view of man. That's part of his poverty. He laid aside his glory. He concealed his Godhead for a time. Veiled in flesh, it's the Godhead that we see, but you'd never know because it's veiled. Here is a voluntary loss of the exercise of his lordship. The free exercise of all of his rights and powers. This is how he became poor. And the other side of the coin is this, that his poverty truly consists in this, that he was born of a woman. God was born of a woman. The Eternal Son was born of a woman. Elsewhere, the scripture says he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. We've just read, the word became flesh. This is his poverty. He was made a little lower than the angels. This is his poverty. He shared in our flesh and blood, as we were looking at this time last year. He emptied himself. Rather, he poured himself into manhood, taking the form of a bondservant or a slave, coming in the likeness of men. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. And this is the poverty that Paul is speaking of, the incarnation. You see, extraordinary giving can be seen in the poverty that you embrace in your giving. And as he gave, so he embraced a remarkable poverty. Because his poverty began when he entered the womb of a virgin. The eternal Son of God, by whom and for whom all things were created, enters the womb of a virgin. He became poor not by ceasing to be what he was. He was unalterably God. But he became poor by becoming what he previously was not. To eternal godhood, he added manhood. He became poor not really by subtraction, but by addition. He added to himself a real human nature, which he still possesses today. I think it's quite a small step from the state of the richest man on earth to the poorest, to be honest, compared to this. Oxfam have released that news this week that the 85 richest people in the world own as much as the 3.5 billion poorest. The 85 richest individuals on the planet today own as much as 3.6 billion of the poorest. And yet, the step between one of the 85 and one of the 3.6 billion is quite small compared to this stoop. It's an altogether different step. Because this is a difference between infinite God and finite man. And the difference is infinite. God himself entered this sin-cursed and groaning world, which is under the sway of the evil one, as a man born under the law. That is absolutely astonishing. And why did he do that? Well, God became man that he would go from the wood of the manger to the wood of the cross. That God himself in the flesh would offer himself as a sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. That he would go to the cross in the place of sinners. That he would go to face this utter humiliation and degradation and poverty, this stoop. This was the climax of the poverty. He was born that he would die on the cross in our place, forsaken as a curse, made sin, that we might be reconciled to God. Though he was rich, in coming to the manger, he became poor because God became a man in order to go to the cross and be made sin and the curse. And that leaves us thirdly and finally, is that this poverty was embraced by him to make others rich. This was a tremendous action on behalf of others. And therefore this is to be embraced by you, that you would become rich. Paul says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, finally, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. This is all about people here in this room this morning. And others around the globe this morning. And the remarkable thing is, this is about others who, like me and like you by nature, are spiritually poor. Spiritually speaking, this morning, we are unbelievably poor. The Bible's verdict on me and you this morning is that we have nothing to commend ourselves to God. In fact, the Bible says there's nothing to commend any one of the human race. All we have by nature is our sin and our guilt and our shame. The Bible declares no one. There's no wriggle room there for me nor you. No one is righteous. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our account, as it were, of righteousness with God is empty and in debit. We have all transgressed. We have all committed iniquities. None of us has come close to loving the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength and mind. We deservedly face the condemnation of which the Scriptures speak. None of us have the resources within ourselves ever to make us right with God. Only Christ can make you right. And to secure the necessary riches for all who would believe, the Eternal Son became poor. Now, if you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you become rich. When you repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you become instantly richer than you ever dreamed. And this is how rich you become, when you repent and believe. If you're a Christian here this morning, this is how rich you are. You might not be feeling very rich this morning. You might be disappointed in what you've received from Father Christmas. You might be disappointed in what you haven't received from him or her. You might be disappointed that you haven't received the thanks for what you've given. You might be disappointed this morning that nobody's really appreciated all the preparation that you have done to make their Christmas all that it's going to be. And I'm sorry about those things, genuinely. But boy, you're rich. Come what may this morning, you are rich. You're rich in the sense of you have been eternally saved. You have lost all of your heinous sin, guilt and shame. They are no longer counted against you. They have been taken away by Christ, who is your sin offering and your guilt offering. Don't carry the guilt, he bore it. You are eternally rich this morning because you're eternally saved. You are forgiven of every one of your mountainous and repeated sins. They've all gone. They've all been blotted out. He remembers them no more. As far as the east is from the west, they've gone. Because all of your iniquities on him were laid. All your indebtedness by him was paid. He's taken it away, your sin, your guilt, your shame. And in a wonderful exchange, some of you will be exchanging things, won't you, this week? You'll go back with a little receipt. Can I exchange this colour bag for this colour bag? I promise that's going to happen in our family. Here's the greatest exchange. We exchange our sin and its guilt and its shame, and we receive back over the counter in return his perfect righteousness. We stand in a garment of salvation, in a robe of righteousness. We're treated as though we've never sinned at all. Because the Son of God has become the Son of Men, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. And that is what we are this morning. If we're found in Christ, we're richer than we've ever realized. If you're in Christ this morning, he's made you rich because he's redeemed you. He's bought you back. Not with gold or silver or oil. He's bought you back with his own blood, shed for you because he loves you. And he gave himself for you. This morning you possess the richness of being reconciled to God and possessing this wonderful gift, which far outweighs any gift you will give or receive today, the gift of eternal life. If you're into social media, if you're on Facebook, you'll see that Facebook are prepared for you. It's been a great year. Well, for some of us, it hasn't been a great year. But it has been a year filled with things for which we are thankful. And the greatest thing has been the daily experience of eternal life, where we who are as nothing have walked through this world knowing, enjoying and loving the living God. And that's the gift of everlasting life. And you possess that this morning. It's not simply something that you're looking forward to. It's something that you possess here this morning. If you've turned from your sin and believed in Christ, boy are you rich, you have him and everything in him, eternal life. And you're promised an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, which won't fade, which can't be taken away, which is laid up for you in heaven. And your greatest richness this morning is that you have Christ. You have Christ. And none shall ever take him away from you. None shall ever pluck you from his hand. He will never leave you nor forsake you, because you are rich in his promises. You're rich because he will never leave you nor forsake you. You are rich because he's working all things together for the good of them that love him, who are called according to his purpose. You are rich this morning because he will supply your every need. You are rich this morning because no good thing will he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. You are rich this morning because he's gone to prepare a place for you. You are rich this morning because you've been pardoned. You are rich this morning because you've been adopted into the family of the living God. You are rich this morning because his righteousness has been imputed to you. You are rich this morning because you are united by your faith to the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. You are rich this morning because the very life of Almighty God dwells in your soul. Do you get the message? You're rich. You possess the eternal glory of the new heaven and the new earth. As Paul says, everything is ours. We've been enriched in him in every way. All things are yours because you're in Christ. You are rich this morning because you've been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Thorns that I might wear a crown. He knew exceeding sorrow that I might be exceedingly glad. He was rejected and despised that I might be accepted and complete. He was wounded that I might sin no more. He was weakened that I might be strong. He was bound that I might be free. He was sentenced and condemned that I might be acquitted and set free. He faced death that I might live. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. The God who took a motherless woman out of the side of a man took a fatherless man out of the body of a woman. God manifested in the flesh. And so I end by asking you to ponder these things in your heart this morning. Are you poor or are you rich? Outside of Christ, then you're poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who recognize their poverty. No one is righteous. But believe in the heart of Christmas. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be rich. Because here in the manger is one who makes rich. At the astonishing cost of himself becoming poor by becoming man and sin and a curse upon the cross, has he not made you rich this morning? Are you not wondrously rich? I close with this. I was meditating on this hymn early this morning. A mind at perfect peace with God. Oh, what a word is this. A sinner reconciled through blood, this indeed is peace. By nature and by practice far, how very far from God, yet now by grace brought nigh to him through faith in Jesus' blood. So nigh, so very nigh to God I cannot nearer be, for in the person of his Son I am as near as he. So dear, so very dear to God, more dear I cannot be. The love wherewith he loves the Son, such is his love to me. Why should I ever anxious be, since such a God is mine? He watches o'er me night and day and tells me mine is thine. And that's when I recognised it needed a sixth verse. So rich, so very rich to God I cannot richer be. For in the person of his Son, now I'm as rich as he. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Let's bow down and worship him in song as we close our morning service.